You're listening to SBS News.
Judy Rankin lived through Black Saturday more than a decade ago, and again she had to flee her property this year because of fire danger.
Yeah, the sky was all red, had that red tinge to it, and the wind started to go slowly around the yard, and I just thought, no, this is, I'm not feeling good about this. I jumped in the car and left. And then as soon as I drove out of Corryong, I got the message through my computer, through the radio, saying evacuate. And then I could see up in the hills the thick smoke, and you could see that it was heading that way.
The accommodation operator based in Victoria's northeast has noticed a sense of despair in Bright and two suicides of men in Corryong.
It's so sad that two young men from really good families gone down that track. The town is like pulling together. They're a very strong community. But I think there's just, everyone is worn out up there.
Ms. Rankin says some former neighbours were allegedly violent with each other and others are now departing the town of Bright. Deborah Parkinson has studied domestic violence after Black Saturday, and she knows many women often don't speak up about abuse. The research fellow from Monash University says there is pressure on women to be loyal to their communities and their partners.
There are quite a few reasons for that. Some of them are loyalty for the man, that the woman is worried because he's suffering because of what happened to him in the fires, the traumatic experiences that he might have had. Not to mention that women also have those experiences. It could be the economic fallout after the bushfires and now COVID with unemployment. We talk about disasters really taking us back 50 years in terms of gender relations.
She's concerned many communities haven't recovered from last summer's catastrophic fires and there is further isolation due to the pandemic.
Add on to that, this spotlight onto tiny communities, rural communities, suddenly they're in the media forefront and there are politicians who, ubiquitously and every time talk about cohesive, resilient communities and how terrific they are. So there's a lot of pressure on women to be loyal to their community as well.
A recent global report on international displacement highlighted Australia's unprecedented bushfire season and limited support access. It estimates 65,000 people were displaced because of fires between July last year and February this year, including thousands of children, some as young as five. The report suggests children's needs are often overlooked, and Monash University PhD candidate Susan Davey agrees with this sentiment.
But there's also not enough focus on children in emergencies in Australia, and it's the same in all high-income countries. And my research has shown that children are visible in our emergency management planning, and we often expect that parents will take care of children after emergencies, which is not an unreasonable expectation. But what we do know is when the adults are really stressed, they're focusing on other things.
Jaspreet Kaur is a training coordinator from Gender and Disaster Pod, an initiative focused on survivor responses to emergency events. She's been involved in the translation of an anti-violence resource with the message, "Disaster is no excuse for family violence." It's been translated into Arabic, Chinese, Italian, Greek, Punjabi, Hindi, Spanish, Swahili, and Vietnamese, plus more languages could still be done. She also says children can encounter bullying at school on top of their trauma from past disasters.
Another thing that was really interesting in our long-term disaster resilience research was the idea of bullying happening in school due to bushfire kids who went to schools that weren't impacted by bushfires. And so when they went to those schools, they were called names because they didn't have uniforms or they didn't have the resources or the things that they needed to be at school, and so they'd get bullied because of that.
Australia is still recovering from its Black Summer fires, where millions of hectares of land were burnt and there were mass evacuations from coastal towns. There are concerns funding is drying up for the Gender and Disaster Pod, which also helps to inform emergency management staff on how to refer men and women to support services. Firefighter Stephen O'Malley is a GADPOD trainer and associate, and he says the resource helps to make emergency staff more aware of gender expectations and the potential for harmful behaviour after disasters.
So it's talking about the gender stereotype. It's talking about what is existing prior to a disaster and how it's exacerbated and, you know, actually amplified during a disaster. So people, men particularly, default back to what the expectation is for them as responders, but also as community members, as the protector of the house and all that sort of stuff during a disaster.
The Country Fire Authority says its latest annual report shows there are 5,000 female volunteer operational members. The agency, Forest Fire Management, said its service has been hiring for its summer workforce, and over the past year, 140 females have been employed as firefighters. More broadly, a quarter of its operational and leadership workforce is made up of women. Mr. O'Malley adds that more women taking up operational urban firefighter roles is part of changing the male-dominated service.
And it just doesn't help to set people up as heroes, because we're telling them that to fail isn't really acceptable. And when they do fail, that's where issues of suicide in men in emergency response is going to be right up simmering at the top of the culture. So it just doesn't help.
In terms of mental health, the CFA says it devotes significant resources to awareness, prevention and treatment services. And if you or anyone you know needs mental health support, contact Lifeline on 13 11 14 or the National Sexual Assault and Domestic Violence Support Line 1800 RESPECT. Stephanie Corsetti, SBS News.